Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and with me in the studio is Dick Riddell, Kathy Keltner, Bruce Burry, and Jeff Weinkoff. And folks, we have had the privilege of sharing the last couple of times with some really neat stories of how God has worked through us, even when we didn't feel well, maybe had a headache, stubbed our toe or something that day. But yet the Lord blessed just our faithfulness. And I guess if I were to think of something that reminds me of the rapture, and that is the desire to hear the Lord say, "Well done, a good and faithful servant." And I guess we've got folks that are probably listening to us across the entire area that are facing times when it's really tough for them to be faithful, to go to church, and to be faithful in sharing the gospel with their friends. What word of encouragement could you share with them that might just get them out of their dump, so to speak, and, or Bruce, as you said, your hole that you wanted to get buried in? What word of encouragement would you share with them?
I can think of one example for sure. I was on a mission trip a little more than a year ago. In fact, I'm looking across at a couple of the guys that were on the trip with me, and I was actually a little disappointed in the mission trip because it would have been my second one, and the first mission trip that I was on went to New York City, which is the whole world, just all on one spot called Manhattan Island. And my reason for disappointment was it was a work project mission trip, and there weren't a lot of people there, and those that were there were believers. And so I was kind of projecting this is going to be another chance for me to share my faith, and it never really happened until the trip back. And I was burdened, Lord, this didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, but you're in control, you're in charge, guide me. And so it happened to be a two-leg flight back from Utah. From Utah to Phoenix, Arizona, Salt Lake to Phoenix, and then Phoenix to Milwaukee, where we are. And God said, "I've got just the people for you, people." Because on the first flight, I met a soldier that had served in one of our conflicts. Before the flight ended, he accepted Christ. And on the second leg, I sat with a gentleman, and my first response was he was tattooed and that kind of thing. And we ended up sharing and talking, and he accepted Christ. Wherever we're at,
sure,
God provides those opportunities. We have to be ready to share. And that for sure is what Evangelism Explosion has done for me. It's given me a model, the verses, and it's never an in-your-face. It's a asking questions and finding out where people are at, and wherever people are at, they have needs. I found that
exactly
to be the case. So there's other cases where I've seen that happen as well, but they're out there.
That is great.
Looking ahead here to the new EE program that's going to be starting in September, hoping that a lot of people from the church are going to respond to that. And I think the encouragement is, without the tools, you can be saved, you can feel comfortable in your own skin. You can know that you have eternal life, but we know what our job is, and our job is to make sure that everyone we come across hears this good news as well. And everyone's capable of doing that, even as timid as you might think you are. Once you get into the program and you get comfortable with the fact that you know that the Lord is standing by your side,
right,
you have the Spirit in you, you know you get support from the rest of the people, it's very easy. There is some memorization you have to do, but that's what's great about this program, because every aspect of the presentation is backed up by God's Word.
Yes.
The truth of God's Word. So no one can refute that. And no one can refute your personal testimony. I mean, it's unique to you. No one can ever tell you that that didn't happen, because it's unique to you. So I encourage everyone who's had this in the back of their mind, that they would like to learn how to share their faith, to come forward this year,
mm-hmm,
in September.
Mm-hmm.
And for those people that are listening that don't belong to our church, to look at ways of getting out and sharing their faith.
You mentioned there is some memorizing, and there is a fair amount in the first semester, and that was a little frightening to me. I don't memorize very well. But fortunately, at least with the EE materials, it also includes a CD. And it's a CD of somebody going through the entire presentation from beginning to end. And I played that in my car so many times. I listened to it at work. And in my first semester, after just 4 weeks, I had the opportunity to go on vacation with my brother and his family and my sister and their family. And on the way down to Florida, just knowing the skeleton outline, I was able to lead my 13-year-old niece to pray to receive Christ.
Wow.
That would not have happened if I had not gotten into EE and had a desire to share my faith. It would not have happened without this course, without this CD helping me, without God working through it and enabling me with his help to be able to share the word. So that was on the way down to Florida. We were down there a week. We were back a week. So 2 weeks later, we met together again with both families to share pictures and just catch up. And that Saturday, I got to talk with my sister-in-law, her mom.
Sure.
She prayed to receive Christ.
Oh, wow.
Because we had a good program, just one method to help you share your faith.
That's right. One of the reasons I continue to go out and share my faith is that he's commanded us to. One of the last things Jesus said on this earth was, go ye. So I'm going to put these guys on the spot and say, what's really our motto? What's our slogan in EE? What phrase do we continually use?
His last commandment, our first concern.
Absolutely. And so when we learn to put that as our first concern, then we'll get on an airplane. Then we'll stand in a grocery store. Then we'll see our relatives in a whole new light.
Right. I'll never forget making a hospital visit to someone that we did not know. They had just traveled into our area. It was in Gainesville, Florida. And the husband got deathly ill. And the wife called our church and said, can anybody come and talk to my husband about the Lord? And so I went to the hospital, and as I was walking in, she was walking out, and I introduced myself, and she said, thank you so much for coming, but I have got to run, but thank you for coming. And so I sat down, and we began to talk just briefly, and he had no clue who I was or why I was there. He didn't know his wife had called, but as time went along, we began to talk about how sick he was and what his concerns were for the future. And then I asked him, well, what if this is it? What if this is the end of your life? And he began to tear up, and he said, I'm going to hell. And I said, is that where you want to go? And he said, not at all. I said, would you like to know how to get to heaven? Yes, I would. And so I had the privilege of leading him to Christ, and we prayed, and I told him I'd come back the next day. And so the next day I walked back down the hallway of that hospital. That wife saw me at the end of the hallway, and she came running down the hallway yelling at me. I thought she was mad at me, and she said, did he? And I said, ma'am, did he what? She said, as soon as you left, he went into a coma, and he died this morning. Did he get saved? And what a precious privilege to be able to say, yes, he did. No, I tell you what, we just stood there and just bawled in the hallway. But what a joy it is to be able to share wonderful news like that with someone who is ready to step into eternity. And of course, we knew he was very sick. We don't know who the next person might be who'll step into eternity. They may be very well at this point.
You know, it's the way we feel right now about sharing this news with people. I mean, it's great. We're just ordinary folks here.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing special about us, and there's nothing special that we do. The Lord has them ready to accept. The Lord has them ready to have open ears. But the other aspect of this program, and we're not just building up this program, it is a very effective way of sharing the good news. The gospel is the emphasis here. But there's also an aspect of this that includes discipleship. That we not only go out and someone accepts the Lord and say, bye, see you later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we try to get them connected somewhere.
Right.
We make sure we have another call back. We call them on the phone. We make sure that they realize what they did.
Right.
You know, a lot of times people in their excitement do things and they don't, what do they do?
Yeah.
So it's real important to follow up with that.
Right.
Because they're like newborn babies, you know, and they need mother's milk and they need the Lord in their lives and they need to develop patterns that are consistent with being spiritual people.
And so you begin to teach them how to share Christ with their family. Because isn't it the first thing you want to do? When you realize what has just happened to you, you can think of numbers of people that you want to hear that wonderful news. And sometimes you can really be so excited you can blow it. And not sure exactly, you know, what to do. And you kind of want to beat people ahead maybe and say, this is what you need to do now, you know. And it's kind of like when my oldest son got saved. I walked into their bedroom, my oldest son and middle son, and he was trying to lead his brother to the Lord, you know, and he was angry at him because he wasn't getting saved. And that's normal when you first get saved because you want everybody to be saved. But what a joy it is to be able to share Christ in a non-confrontational way.
Yes, I remember when my husband was probably elementary school, maybe upper elementary school, his dad found him wrestling a neighbor boy to the ground, holding him down until he would get saved. So he was intense. He knew how important it was. He was going to force this boy to be saved.
I think that's what Jude is talking about when it says snatching them out of the fire.
He did learn his lesson, that's for sure.
As Jeff was saying just a little earlier about this, taking a little memory work to do that, I just want to assure everybody, it's not in the Bible, but how do you eat an elephant but one bite at a time?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it almost seemed like it happened to me as I came each week to the training program. And by like week four, I was sharing. And so it does not take a lot. It takes the resolve, I'm going to do it, and the prayer to have the Holy Spirit guide you in preparation and in the study. But if you do your part, God really does want to do his part and use us. Because if we aren't the sharers, who will? I remember a United Way campaign one time, and the motto that year was, if you don't do it, it won't get done. And that's how I see evangelizing people. I'm the only one that somebody may run across that can share that. And I'm grateful that I've had that opportunity to do it.
And it could be that you're listening to our broadcast this morning and you're saying, well, Pastor Greg, I'm not a member of Brookside, and so I don't have the opportunity to take this training. But it sure sounds like something that would be great for our church. And if that's the way you feel, please feel free to call Pastor Ken Keltner here at Brookside Baptist, and he can share with you how you can get a program started like that and a ministry started like that in your church, because it has revolutionized our church, and we are seeing folks coming to Christ and then being discipled, and that is the greatest joy in the world. Paul said to Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. It's the discipleship cycle. That's God's plan, and we're excited about being a part of it. I trust you will be as well. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.